266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Three judges on the U.S. Court of Appeals are hearing former President Trump's claim right now that he cannot be put on trial for alleged election interference.
I understand your position to be that a president is immune from criminal prosecution for any official act that he takes as president, even if that action is taken for an unlawful or unconstitutional purpose. Is that correct?
Correspondent Scott McFarlane is at the courthouse in Washington, D.C.
Special Counsel Jack Smith calls that a baseless argument that would give future presidents license to break the law. Either way, it could impact his March 4th trial date.
CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
The former president is more than happy, should the appeals court rule that he is not immune from prosecution, to take the case before the Supreme Court and buy even more time.
Two dozen conservative attorneys have written to the court insisting there's nothing in the Constitution that supports Mr. Trump's claim. They call it a dangerous argument. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Some places in Wisconsin could get 10 inches of snow today. The hardest hit area in Wisconsin will be about the southern two-thirds. Here's Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
It's really going to put the heaviest snow target really from Prairie du Chien into Madison. Then it kind of slides up north and towards the Dells and towards the Fox Valley. Even Green Bay could see some of that as well.
After the storm, expect 35-mile-an-hour wind gusts. Governor Evers says he's having a hard time finding a new Department of Natural Resources secretary. The Republican-controlled state Senate fired 8 of his appointees to different boards and commissions last fall. Evers says some candidates he's considered tell him they don't want to put their families in that situation. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The afternoon impact is why everything is closing. The winter storm warning runs through 3 tomorrow morning, with forecasters still thinking up to 10 inches could be coming down in some areas locally. While Milwaukee and lakefront communities might see around 3 inches of snow, areas further inland are expected to bear the brunt of the storm. Most schools in the area are closed, including MPS, the School District of Waukesha, plus Racine and Kenosha Unified. Milwaukee County deputies dedicated an hour to clearing the scene on 41 last night after being alerted to shots fired. That resulted in the closure of the interstate. The sheriff's office shut the southbound lanes through the zoo interchange down in response to the shooting report. There were no injuries. The highway was reopened shortly after 7 following a search for shell casings. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The Foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Bucks are in a slump. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks are near the top of the Eastern Conference, but last night they suffered their second loss in a row at home. The Utah Jazz with a 132-116 win. Milwaukee's now lost 4 of their last 5 games. Head coach Adrian Griffin.
You know, sometimes as a coach you can come in and, you know, you can go bonkers. But I also believe you got to, you know, show them the areas that we got to improve on. At halftime, I showed probably more clips than I usually show, areas where we can, you know, respond.
The Bucks host the Celtics Thursday. They're 3.5 games behind Boston for the top spot in the conference. NFL, it's the Cowboys and the Packers in the wild card playoffs Sunday at 3:30. Matt LaFleur.
We obviously know we have a great challenge in front of us going down to Dallas against a team that, well, they're 8-0 at home this year. They seem to be playing their best ball at home.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. A winter storm warning in effect now. Temperatures above freezing, creating a rain and snow mix, turning to all snow after 3 o'clock, with heavy snow bands at times and winds whipping up to 40 miles per hour. 2 to 5 inches is likely by the lake, with 5 to 8 inches possible further inland. Right now, it's 30.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to Civic Media's 2023 Year in Review of Democracy in Wisconsin. Hosts Kristen Bry and Todd Alba sat down with members of Law Forward to recap the events of the year, along with a look ahead to 2024. In the new year, stay up to date with our growing radio network by following Civic Media on your favorite social media platform and by downloading the Civic Media app. Here are your hosts, Kristen Bry and Todd Alba.
Kristen Bry of Asbills, Wisconsin, along with Todd Alba of The Todd Alba Show, and welcome to a year in review of democracy in Wisconsin in 2023. Election cycle after election cycle, we are told that Wisconsin is facing the most important election of our lifetimes. In 2024, that will undoubtedly be the case once again. And in preparing for the year to come, Civic Media believes it's important to review what happened in Wisconsin over the past year in regards to fair elections and equal representation in the state.
And Kristen, if there's anybody I want to look back with, but more importantly, look forward with, it's you. Oh. And we get to work again together. This is, see, a great way to kick off 2024. For that look back, as you spoke of, we're going to see what lies ahead also in our pivotal battleground state. We're going to be joined by members of a great organization called Law Forward to discuss actions their organization took this year to ensure accountability in past elections, but as maybe more importantly, it worked towards fair representation in Wisconsin in the future elections. And Kristen, we have two fantastic guests with us today.
Indeed. We are so happy to have Law Forward's Executive Director, Nicole Safar, and Staff Counsel, Scott Thompson. That's right. Yeah. Just making sure. Welcome to the show. We're so excited to have you both in studio.
Oh, thank you so much. We're really excited to be here and to talk about everything that has transpired over the last year and, you know, the good things we hope are going to happen soon.
So let's start from the very beginning as far as for people unfamiliar with Law Forward, even though you've been in the news a lot this year, let's just talk what is Law Forward and why was it founded?
Yeah, so Law Forward is a 501c3 nonprofit, nonpartisan organization based in Wisconsin, and we're focused on protecting and expanding our democracy here through impact litigation and public education around voting rights, election administration, restoring checks and balances, and election subversion prevention and accountability. We're really homegrown local legal organization, and we launched in the fall of 2020 in an environment that I'm sure many of your listeners remember was pretty hostile to democracy.
Was?
It was an inflection point in hostility towards democracy. And, you know, those of us who have lived in Wisconsin the last decade really understand that there since, you know, the mid-aughts, there has been this right-wing effort, coordinated effort, to thwart the will of the people. And we saw that really highlighted in 2020, to overthrow the will of the people at the ballot box and in the court system and consolidate power among a homogenous few. These right-wing forces over the last decade have held policy solutions hostage in the Wisconsin state legislature. And at the heart of that is really the extreme partisan gerrymander we've had in our state legislative maps the last decade and change. So that was kind of the environment that Law Forward was launched in. with the idea that fair maps coming up in 2020 and 21, it was is a real opportunity. And that was sort of the theory of change initially for Law Forward. But what we found that year and, you know, the end of 2020, 2021, 2022, was that there was a real gap to be filled here around preventing election subversion through manipulating our election administration system. And we've done a ton of work on accountability in that space to make sure that clerks have the information and resources they need for implementing fair elections, and really just to keep our eye on that right wing as they continue to find new tactics to get in the way of a free and fair election.
Scott Thompson, you are the staff counsel for Law Forward. We hear a lot about, we have to do this to save democracy. Democracy is at risk. And I think we hear that so often that some of us get numb and calloused to what that actually means. Can you walk us through as an attorney, but, you know, kind of put it down there with terms like goofballs like me can understand, what threats to democracy exist and what were those specific threats that you're trying to respond to at Law Forward?
So there's a lot of threats, that's for sure. Right. But big picture, I think of democracy as a system in which parties can lose elections. It's kind of a simple way to put it, but in essence, we are not a dictatorship. We are not a system where one person runs everything. People have a say and parties win and lose. The power can change. But ultimately, the types of threats that we see to that system start at a really small level and ultimately have grown to really big. So from the small, everything from specifically how someone can return an absentee ballot can be a threat to democracy. In other words, the overregulation of issues like that to make it nearly impossible for certain folks, that itself is a threat to democracy. It's a threat to allowing everybody to actually participate. But on the opposite end, the larger scale threats, I think we saw metastasize acutely during the 2020 election, where literally there was an attempt to subvert the presidential election. And that type of direct threat is, I think, easier for people to perceive because it is so obvious and was violent. But that is not to say that there are not more maybe granular or specific. I think granular is probably the right word, threats to just the overall system. And it sort of runs the gamut. We see it all.
Now, one thing that I think has started to get conflated, unfortunately, is this capital D Democrats and small d democracy. Because Law Forward is a nonpartisan law firm, correct?
That's right.
True.
Yeah. And it's just that the series of events as they have happened, both in the state and nationally, that there has been more alignment with Democrats in our state as far as the cases that your Law Forward is working on. But it's not that you are funded by capital D Democrats, right?
That's right. You know, I think one thing that we've seen across a whole host of issues the last few years is that only one political party supports democracy issues. And it has been conflated a lot if you're talking about, you know, voting rights, independent nonpartisan redistricting, or even access to things like public school funding or reproductive health care. Only one party has been championing those issues. And it's not good for our democracy. It's not healthy to have this sort of deep divide on issues that voters across the spectrum support. There are Republicans all across the state that support the same issues that we work on. It is the gerrymandered legislature and the party leadership that has really been able to hold hostage these just common sense policy solutions that folks across the board believe are the best direction for our state.
I really appreciate you bringing up that there are, you know, people that vote Republican across Wisconsin that hold these same values. I mean, if people listen to my show, I was a Republican for 30 years, left the party in 2011 over voting issues. And I like to make the distinction. I'd be interested in what you all think. I think there's a distinction between folks that live in Vilas County and vote for the local clerk of court because she runs as a Republican versus Republican leadership like Robin Voss and Devin LeMahieu, who are sussing out policies specifically for partisan reasons.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what we've seen in Wisconsin the last decade is that Republican Party leadership's number one policy agenda has been to consolidate their own power. And one of the biggest problems with the gerrymander is that none of our legislators are accountable. So we can't even talk about public policy solutions to the issues families in Wisconsin are facing.
Or hold them accountable as far as, I mean, I've had listeners and followers of my social media, especially during most recently the potential impeachment of Janet Protasiewicz, of them trying to get a hold of their lawmaker and not feeling heard. Let's put it that way.
I mean, to your point, Todd, in 2011, things changed in Wisconsin, and your ability to, as a citizen, to effectively engage with the legislature, the door was shut. I mean, the door was literally shut to people in the winter of 2011, and that could be an analogy for the last decade of how this legislature has operated.
What do you make, Scott, of, again, as a former Republican, it's rich to me that for years they've spent time now saying, oh, we have to vote on election day only. And you know, mostly Democrats, partisan Democrats are saying, hey, vote early, you know, whenever you can. They get the information out. Now that in the last election, Republicans did poorly, not everywhere, but some places. Now suddenly Republicans in the state of Wisconsin, leadership, is suddenly saying, oh, no, you know, now you can vote early, you know, if you want. What do you make of this change in your view?
Well, I mean, vote by mail, absentee voting, early voting, these are all very popular things for all Wisconsinites, probably because it's easy. For example, my fiance is a nurse. It's hard for her to literally get to the polling place when you're working from 7 to 7. Mm-hmm. And so this is an issue that impacts people no matter what party you are. It can be hard to get to the polls on election day. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a pretty broadly understood principle that if we make that a little bit easier, no matter what party you're in, you can maybe get some more votes. And I think that's what people are reckoning with right now.
And I just want to quickly, maybe both of you can comment quickly, again, to reiterate for people, the 2020 election in the state of Wisconsin and in the country, but particularly in Wisconsin, was one of the freest, fairest, and most accurate elections in state history, correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And analysis after analysis has shown that. And I think anecdotal experiences that people had, it was an incredibly uncertain and scary time, 2020, right? There was so much in the world that we didn't know what was going to happen. And Wisconsin voters took their responsibility so seriously. People planned ahead. People got out to vote because it matters. It mattered who ended up in charge after that election. And people all across the state just really stepped into their responsibility.
You're listening to Civic Media's Year in Review of Democracy in Wisconsin in 2023. Our guests are Law Forward's Executive Director Nicole Safar and Staff Counsel Scott Thompson. And just to kind of lay the framework for what we're going to go through for the rest of the hour is there's some big cases coming up that Law Forward is litigating. And so we definitely want to jump into the fake electors litigation. And then also one thing I know I care a lot about, I think Todd cares a lot about too, is gerrymandering and redistricting and how that could totally change 2024 elections in Wisconsin. We already know that it's going to be a big year when it comes to the presidential election, but we could have an entirely new legislature depending on how this case goes. So we're going to take a break really quickly, but when we come back, more of A Year in Review of Democracy in Wisconsin in 2023.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Year in Review of Democracy in Wisconsin for the past year, 2023, of course. I'm Todd Alba, along with our fantastic...
On the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Shout out to Bayfield this morning and Wausau, wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Network. Thank you so much for joining us, and you can always call in or text at 844-967-2789.
If you heard someone say pre-recorded, it's not pre-recorded.
No, we are live.
We are live right now. It is today, Tuesday, the 9th of January.
Yes, it is. We were talking before we took the break that Donald Trump, one of Donald Trump's lawyers, is in D.C. Circuit Court this morning arguing that unless a president is impeached and then convicted in Congress, he essentially cannot be held responsible for anything. And we're taking your calls and your texts. Andrew from Maine checking in. Let's remember that an impeachment, especially a presidential impeachment, is a political trial and not a legal one, unless, of course, that the impeachment process would like to adopt the federal rules of trial. That's where jurors get to make public statements before hearing any evidence. Andrew also says, if the courts agree with Trump's team, does that mean the current impeachment inquiry into Biden is null and void? Since the president is above the law, I think that's a very good question, and I would assume that Trump's lawyers would say no, absolutely not.
No, Trump's
not just in our instance.
Trump's lawyers would be like, say that again, just slower. I got to write that down.
Break it down for me.
Yeah,
break it down for
Can
me.
Can you shorter words, less bumps in the words?
All right, I wanted to move on, and I think this is important because we had many jokes at their expense. Report this morning that Florida's Republican Party yesterday voted in an emergency meeting to remove Chairman Christian Ziegler from his position following allegations of sexual assault. Florida Senate Republican Blaise Ingaglia told CNN, quote, no one voted for Christian Ziegler.
Say that name again, that second name.
Blaise Ingaglia?
That's not a real name. No.
Florida
That's...
Senate Republican Blaise, B-L-A-I-S-E.
Blaise. Blaise Ingaglia.
Ingaglia. I want to applaud the Florida Republican Party. Well, come on.
No.
Let's acknowledge where...
They did the bare minimum.
But no one voted to support him.
So what?
And I only think that's because it is so blatantly against what they claim to hold dear, which is traditional family values.
Yeah, and you know what? Fine, cool, good job for doing what you should have done. I'm not giving you anything. But also, here's the other thing is, I wanted about all the skeletons and all the closets of all those other individuals, because they ain't the only one. Please.
You certainly have to wonder, in case you've forgotten, Ziegler is being investigated by the Sarasota Police Department. A woman last year accused him of rape, and this was after Ziegler and his wife, one of the co-founders of Moms for Liberty, had a three-way sexual encounter with this woman.
And he videotaped it without their consent.
Without this, reportedly without this woman's consent, yes. They were supposed to have another meeting between the three of them. His wife couldn't make it. The other woman involved said, I was really here for her.
No!
Christian Ziegler allegedly went over to her home and forced himself on her and recorded it. And so, again, he has been removed from as the head of the Florida Republican Party. We'll see what happens with his wife. Again, one of the co-founders of Moms for Liberty. I believe she's still on Ron DeSantis's Disney board. I'm pretty sure. I know.
I'm just thinking, like, all right, Florida, can relax, everyone. You're in good hands now. Blaze is in charge.
Blaze has got your back. Yeah. And then the other thing, Lauren Boebert from Colorado.
Bingo Boebert?
Bingo Boebert, Betelgeuse Boebert. She was famously getting frisky with her boyfriend at a musical production, family friendly, by the way, of Betelgeuse, and essentially said she hadn't dated so long she didn't realize there were cameras everywhere. That was her excuse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was her excuse.
Yeah.
And she also said at the time that they were on a first date.
I love when people have a connection, Jane. You know?
You know, you just know. Especially, when you click, you click.
Especially over a play. You know, like, she loves art.
She's an appreciator of the arts.
Exactly. So here's more like Lauren Boebert.
Oh, nice.
I mean, I really don't like the mud that you're slinging at her, because this is a person who supports the arts. Why don't you just find love? Who doesn't want to find love, Jane?
It's true.
Who doesn't want to find love?
If you'll remember, Boebert decided to avoid a tough re-election battle, but she only won by like 400 votes last time around.
Yeah.
So rather than take on the challenger, she moved. She essentially moved to a more conservative district across the state, and now introducing herself to those voters, she's trying to make light of her past issues. Quote, many of you know who I am, Boebert said, telling the Baca County Republicans. I don't have to ask the ushers like at the Buell Theater, which is where Betelgeuse was being performed. So, yeah. So after she was caught vaping in the theater and they asked her to leave, and that did not go over well. And then she, of course, had to ask them, do you know who I am?
Which is so obnoxious. I mean, could she win? Absolutely. But I don't think it's going to go well for her, because granted, she's from there, but she's going to be seen as a carpetbagger in the highest regard, like just a coward.
Do you think so?
Yeah, because she's like, they're going to know her. Whomever is running against her is going to say she moved here so she could win. She doesn't have your best interest. She has her own interest. If I was running against her, my whole campaign in a primary
would be that.
It would be hammering her for being afraid, not having a good record. And if I'm a conservative, this sort of behavior is not family values behavior. We're better than that. Oh, God. The text writes itself.
She also, Lauren Boebert, became the subject of an investigation over the weekend after officers were called to a restaurant in Silt, Colorado. Her ex claimed they met up at a restaurant and she punched him in the face. No one was arrested. No one has been charged. Her former husband says he doesn't want her to be charged. Quote, I don't want nothing to happen. Her and I were working through a difficult conversation, unquote. That's Jason Boebert, Bobo's ex. And another thing for Colorado voters to keep in mind, if she gets reelected, then she gets congressional benefits for the rest of her life.
Will she? Will she?
It would be her third term.
Her third term, but is it starting over in a new district?
That's a good question. We'll have to see if we can find the answer for that. When we return, the one and only Dan Schaefer, we will be recombobulating with Dan Schaefer. We're also going to talk about the medical marijuana bill that was introduced by the Republicans yesterday in the state assembly. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Monday mornings, go for a ride, doing the garden, digging the weeds. Who could ask for more? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? Every summer we can rent a cottage in the Isle of Wight if it's not too dear. We shall scrimp and save. Grandchildren on a postcard, drop me a line stating point of view. Indicate precisely what you mean to say. You're sincerely wasting away. Give me your answer, fill in a form, mine forevermore. Or will you still need me? Will you still feed me?
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
Missed your face.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and...
Fear you may be missing out?
Listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
And that will give you a whole statewide map of where all the accidents are.
On Friday, December 22nd, the Wisconsin Supreme Court struck down the state's legislative maps. Timelines have been set for early January for the next stages of this case.
Dan, what are we talking about?
I did, and I've been working on this piece for a little while. Published in partnership with my friends over at Milwaukee Record. It is on marijuana legalization, which, of course, has been in the news this week. With the Republican proposal dropped yesterday about medical marijuana. But the piece that I wrote was really about recreational marijuana and what in the world Wisconsin is doing on this issue right now, because we are now surrounded by so many other states in the Midwest that have legalized recreational marijuana. And Wisconsin is one of only 12 states to have no comprehensive cannabis policy, to have no medical or recreational marijuana legalized. We are pretty far behind our Midwestern neighbors. And now, you know, the majority of the population of the U.S. now lives in a state where marijuana is legal. Recreational marijuana is legal. And so I just kind of dove into it thinking, what in the world are we doing here? And how can we get to a point where we can make a common sense decision on policy and, you know, puff, puff, pass this legislation on marijuana legalization?
Well, again,
I did that just to annoy Greg, and it is working. For those of you on the live stream, Greg has his head in his hands reacting to my
You're a father, okay?
Just annoy Greg.
You can always watch us on the live stream, by the way, on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter, and you can leave a comment or call at 844-967-2789. So, what the Republicans proposed yesterday, Dan, and I think the part that stuck out the most to me was that they want the state to run 5 dispensaries. That blows my mind.
Yes, the party of free enterprise,
right,
and limited government would
entrepreneurship.
The state to run would like for Wisconsin to be the only state in the country to have state-run medical marijuana dispensaries, 5 of them across the state, which I have to imagine for a lot of people, it's going to be a whole lot closer to drive to Illinois or
Minnesota
Michigan or Minnesota, mm-hmm, to go to a legal marijuana dispensary. There was a report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum last year that said the majority of Wisconsin's population is within a 70-minute drive, mm-hmm, of a legal dispensary.
Yep.
That was before Minnesota legalized, so I have to imagine that number is shifting quite significantly with that one. It's not great what we're doing right now, and it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And yeah, the whole state-run thing, that's already getting pushed back within Republicans in the Wisconsin state legislature. This is a proposal that came through from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Assembly Republicans. I saw a key Senate Republican, Mary Felskowski, who's advocated for medical marijuana in the past, came out saying, hey, I like medical marijuana. I don't really understand this whole state run thing. I think we should involve private industry to administer these things the way we do, you know, any other kind of medicine in the state. So that was pretty weird. Another example of the Assembly and the Senate Republicans not really being on the same page in the state legislature. But I don't know, is this the best we're going to get right now? I don't really know.
Well, honestly, like we talked about this yesterday when it came down, when the language came down, that just goes to show how little the architects of this bill know about the process as on the whole. Like they, in their heads, they think, well, this is how we can do it. This is how we should do it. Here's 9 things that can affect you. We'll do 5 stores. Done. Like, I think in their head, they've succeeded. They don't understand
why this is an issue.
That in 2 years they're going to have to build 10 more stores, then, or just do the smart thing and take one of the 50 vape shops and say, "All right, you apply for a license, you sell it through them. These are your guidelines, these are your restrictions, and you will be taxed accordingly." So, thus and so, because like we said, like you know, doing the emissions in this state was apparently too much of a hassle. They had to push it onto private business. Selling weed is going to be 10 times harder.
And the other question I have about that, and I might be completely wrong about this, Dan, marijuana is still classified as a Schedule I drug, is it not?
Yeah, there's some federal factors within this. I think that, you know, the Biden administration has taken a number of steps to kind of slow roll decriminalization, more or less, to expunge a lot of convictions and take, you know, the steps that they can through the executive branch. But I don't know exactly what the path is that they can do. But, you know, another thing that I thought was interesting about this move in Wisconsin was that this would generate zero tax dollars. It would essentially be, you know, revenue neutral with setting up these state-run facilities and not getting any revenue in return. You know, in contrast to that, the bill proposed by Democratic State Senator Melissa Agard, who has been trying to propose legalization efforts for about a decade, the Legislative Fiscal Bureau estimated that in 1 year that would generate close to $170 million in tax revenue. So you could have, you know, door number one, we have state-run medical marijuana facilities, the most restrictive in the nation, as Robin Voss characterized it, or door number two, just do legal recreational marijuana and generate $170 million and do the thing that every state around us seems to be doing. So it's kind of a baffling policy. And it's just like, you know, this medical marijuana pitch would seem dated a decade ago. You know, it's just like, it's just so far behind the times on this issue. And even if you're opposed to marijuana, even if you have to just recognize the reality at this
point. It's here.
You know, it's here. And like, there was a really good feature story from MLive in Michigan showing just a map of where a lot of the customers for some of these Upper Peninsula marijuana dispensaries are coming from. They're all coming from Wisconsin. You know, they're all coming across the border to buy at these legal shops. So what are we doing? It's just we're losing money. We're you know, needlessly criminalizing something that should not be illegal. You know, there's state municipalities across the state have, like Milwaukee, have moved to make this like a $1 fine that they're not going to really enforce possession or whatever. It's just even if you're opposed to it, there's just like, you have to be pragmatic at a certain point and take the step to just do what everyone else is doing here and get with the times and legalize recreational marijuana.
As we do every Tuesday, we are recombobulating with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. We're talking about the Republican proposal that was announced yesterday to legalize medical marijuana in Wisconsin. The other question I have, going back to it still being a Schedule I drug, according to the federal government, that has meant many banking issues for other states where they have legalized recreational or whatever. It's not handled by the state, but they can't. Banking is very difficult, and handling this money that they're bringing in is very difficult. So how would the state be able to do that?
It creates a number of other issues, doesn't it?
Right?
I mean, it's just, you know, instead of following successful models that we have all around us, creating this brand new model that, you know, seems destined to change eventually anyway. I think that's the thing too, is that I think the way that public opinion has gone on this issue over the past decade or so, you know, the most recent Marquette University Law School poll had, I think, 2/3 of the state is in favor of recreational marijuana legalization, including about half of Republicans. So it just seems inevitable that we're going to be getting to this place anyway. I think there's a generational divide in many ways, particularly among Republicans on this issue. One thing I wanted to point out from my story is that, you know, whenever you bring this up, this issue up on social media of marijuana legalization, somebody will respond, "Oh, the Tavern League." Right? Everybody always.
I do.
Oh,
I do.
You do. Yeah. And well, here's the thing. I reached out to the Tavern League for the story. I was pretty surprised at their response. They are not opposed to recreational marijuana legalization in Wisconsin.
Seriously.
I repeat, the Tavern League of Wisconsin is not opposed to recreational marijuana legalization.
Fake news.
And there is proof to this as well.
Yeah.
So if in Wisconsin, if you are a lobbyist and you are advocating on one side or another of a certain bill, you have to register in favor or opposed. So if the Tavern League were to be actively working against any of the marijuana legalization bills or, you know, whatever bills it might be, they would have to register. And so I have a quote on the record in this story that you can read right now at Milwaukee Record from the folks at the Tavern League saying, we haven't taken a side on this. We don't have a dog in this race. We don't know why people are blaming us for this, and not to, you know, give cover for the Tavern League.
No.
I think there are a lot of problems with them. But they have said, and they are not actively opposed to any legalization efforts.
And they're not lobbying against legalization.
And they're not lobbying against it. If they were lobbying against it, they would have to register with the Wisconsin Ethics Commission. You know, I included links to all of that. You can investigate all of their lobbying efforts on that page. But they are not actively lobbying against any recreational marijuana legalization.
Well, and I just want to say this. And good for you, Dan Schaefer, for actually calling the Tavern League to find out their position on this. Because you're right. They've been getting blamed for this for at least a decade.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is like, they don't know why and they don't like it or they're befuddled. Then at least go out on your Twitter account, on your social media, and just make a statement. We do not take a position on this. And here are the supporting factors, just like you did, at least to give themselves cover. Because if that's something that they've been taking on for a long time, they're taking the aimless blame, which I have been talking about for years now, never knowing, because I was always told it was the Tavern League.
Right.
Then you got to do something for yourself to cover your own tuckuses. Because if you're just sitting there going, well, why are they saying that? Well, no one knows. Also,
well,
by the way,
that's why I wanted to ask them, because it was one of those things that, like, when I talked to certain people about it on the issue, they were just like, I don't really think it's the Tavern League. And I was like, really? And they, yeah, I don't really think so. So I reached out to their government affairs officer and their spokespeople and had an on the record interview with them and now have them quoted as saying that they are not opposed to marijuana legalization.
So is it just a generational thing then, Dan? This reluctance? You know,
I think it's going to sound partisan, but it's just Republicans. It's just the Republicans in the legislature.
Certain Republicans, though. Just certain Republicans.
Well, and it's certain Republicans, too. And that's one of the things that, you know, I interviewed State Senator Melissa Agard for this piece. And subscribers to the Recombobulation Area can listen to that full interview. And she said that, you know, there are a number of Republicans in the caucus who have told her that if she gets this bill to the floor, the full recreational marijuana legalization bill to the floor, that they'll vote with her, that they would support marijuana legalization. But they said they can't really cross leadership, and leadership sets the committee schedule and allows which bills to get a public hearing. So it is Robin Voss and it is Devin Lemahieu.
Yeah.
And those are the people, you know, it so often we're so, oh, what's the nefarious motive here? Is it the Tavern League? Is it this other thing? It's just Republican leadership. Like so many issues in Wisconsin that they are out of step with and out of touch with. And it's the minority rule ruling over the majority as they have in so many ways. And I think that's what's happening here is I think you'd get a number of Republicans that would support legalization if you just had a clean bill for it reach the floor in the Assembly or the Senate. But they're just not going to be able to do anything to counter the leadership and their position on it.
If you want to chime in on this, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Or you can watch on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Dan will still be here. We will continue recombobulating. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air across the Civic Media Radio Network.
hoping for a relaxed weekend. Once I get strapped in the 210, wheels up and we'll be rocking, getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me. I want you to recombobulate me. I need you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody recombobulate me?
The Shaw, WAUK.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund, and I'm talking with Brett Uhlberg, owner of Robert Half Diamonds. Brett, I hear you pay cash for gold.
Not only gold, but silver, diamonds in any form like jewelry, teeth, coins, flatware.
Why should I sell you my gold?
Why not? Our store is the only store that recommends you shop around before you sell. This way you know you're getting the most money. But if Robert Half Diamonds can't beat a competitor's offer on your scrap gold, we'll give you $20 just for letting us try.
Hey, what if I'm shy?
You? Well, at Robert Half Diamonds, we sit with you at a table. We go through your items and make you an offer. You're not pressured, and we offer more on jewelry that we can resell.
Can I trade my gold for a new piece of jewelry?
Of course you can, and not only that, we can custom make a piece of jewelry using your gold and gems.
Hey, there you have it, folks. Sell your gold to my friends at Robert Half Diamonds. Visit them on 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Robert Half Diamonds, where they want your business.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Good, good morning. Just welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. Calvin's on the board, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. Just a reminder to download the Civic Media app. You can find it wherever you app, where you get your app things.
Where do you app?
I app at the Google Play Store.
Me too. And if you want, you can go to the Civic Media app. Google Play and get that Civic Media app. You know what other app you actually can get?
What?
The Wisconsin 511 app.
Oh, that's
it's
nice.
In an app form.
That's cool. Take advantage of that. 511wi.gov. It'll show you where all the accidents are around the state. It's really very useful.
It's where it's happening.
Oh, nice. And our app is free, so make sure you
don't you shake your head at me, Dan Schaefer. Don't you shake your head at me.
It's the pun off. Dan Schaefer is here, as he is every Tuesday, to recombobulate. He's the author of the award-winning Recombobulation Area, and he just published a piece about the Republicans yesterday putting forward their proposal for medical marijuana in Wisconsin. John from the Falls texting in. Just another example of Republicans wanting to put politicians in a doctor's office. Let's be honest here. They're just trying to score political points by giving the public what they want without actually giving the public what they want. It's officially time to change our state motto for Wisconsin from forward to backward.
We got also a text from Andrew from Maine, 541, listening. He said, what would it take to put a question on the ballot as a referendum? Should WISCO decriminalize marijuana and allow sales with the same regulations, restriction, and requirements alcohol? Now, if I'm not mistaken, our referendums are pretty toothless here in the state. Like, they're not, you put a referendum.
It's not a binding, right, Dan? They're not binding referendums.
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple things there. One, we just don't have statewide referendums as like direct statewide ballot initiatives in the state of Wisconsin. You know, so that's the way a lot of different states have passed marijuana legalization.
Yeah.
You know, those, you know, far left liberals in Missouri, they passed it with a statewide referendum.
So Ohio radical.
Just you mean it. Steve?
They're so radical.
Yeah, those radical leftists in Missouri and Ohio.
They tried something too with that.
More than,
I'm sorry, go
What's
on.
That?
They tried, but they put a question on a referendum years ago, but it only was certain parts of the state that was asked the question about marijuana.
And in that shared revenue bill, they banned those types of non-binding referendum questions. So, you know, they don't want to hear from the public on that because they keep revealing that, you know, people want legal marijuana or you know, reproductive rights or whatever it might be that will be on those referendums. So in Wisconsin, it would have to be an amendment to the state constitution, which would be required action by the state legislature anyway.
And that's not going to happen.
Which isn't going to happen. No. So the only real path forward for legalization is through the Republican controlled Wisconsin state legislature. And I think you touched on it a little bit there, is that, you know, this is an election year. This is an election year for the state legislature. They are clearly losing the public opinion battle on the marijuana legalization issue. And I think you hit it right on the head, saying that this is a way to fend off some election year challenges. You know, if we have an election under new maps, you know, some of the places that have been so heavily gerrymandered in the state of Wisconsin would include the Milwaukee area suburbs. Milwaukee area suburbs are not too far from Illinois. So are people going to say, like, hey, you know, make this an issue in a lot of these elections, saying that we should legalize recreational marijuana in the state? I think it's a winning issue for Democrats, and it's clearly driving a wedge between Republicans, you know, many of those who do support recreational legalization.
When you mentioned that yesterday, as far as it being like, you know, listening to the people and trying to propose legislation to do something, once again, I just imagine the group of Republicans who got together and put this together and said, see, we did something. Vote for us.
Maybe they'll be nice to us now.
I mean, they are like,
I think they want a participation trophy. For yes. This, right?
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, they in their heads, they thought, well, this will get them. This will really get them. We got them. They're going to vote for us.
But the thing that sticks out to me too, Dan, is the whole fact that this would not be a revenue generator. That is like, come on.
I know people who don't smoke weed who want this for revenue generation.
Just for the tax.
Exactly.
Tax relief. I mean, schools. And Andrew from Maine already said, too, $170 million extra to spend on childcare. Heck no. About $170 million extra to throw at a sports team. Oh, yeah, we can make that happen.
They would sooner give it back to the people in a rebate than they would spend it on the people overall in certain programs. That's what the Republicans love doing.
So, Dan, and we've talked about this before on the show in general, just about contacting your lawmakers. Call them. Seriously, call them. And if you go to myvotewi.gov, that will list off every single elected official who represents you in your district and give you all their numbers and all their contact information and everything. Because what else can we do?
I think there are simple steps that the legislature could take. And one is just have a public hearing on the Democrats' bill on this, you know, or reach across the aisle. Like we have, you know, that was another thing that Senator Agard mentioned in our interview. She's saying, like, there are a number of bipartisan wins this past year in the legislature. You look at shared revenue, you look at the Brewers, you look at the alcohol policy reform bill. Those were all things that passed with bipartisan support. You know, if we want something that's really going to work for Wisconsin, you're not going to get it just through one side of the assembly. You know, we're going to just have a public hearing on what the Democrats' bill are, or work together on something. Like, these are not, you know, extraordinarily difficult steps to take. But I think, you know, one of the things that she said is that, you know, she said she thinks this will pass within the next two legislative sessions. So I guess optimistically, before the end of the decade, Wisconsin might have recreational marijuana. We're still going to be about a decade behind the times, no matter what.
I just want to reassure Robin Voss and Devin Lemahieu that if they do decide to hold public hearings on this, you can ignore what people say anyway. You don't have to actually listen to what they say. You can just continue to do what you want, but throw them the bone and have them. Let them speak so they at least feel good.
And dodge them tomatoes coming at you. Dodge those tomatoes. Whoa.
Dan Schaefer, I highly recommend you subscribe to his wonderful recombobulation area, especially now we're in 2024. It's an election year, and nobody breaks it down quite as thoroughly as Dan Schaefer. Where can we find you, Dan Schaefer?
You can find us at therecombobulationarea.news, the Recombobulation Area on Substack. You can also find me on Twitter at Dan R. Schaefer, where I will occasionally tweet about things other than the Milwaukee Bucks.
Thanks a lot, Dan. We will see you next week. Don't go away. We have news on the way next. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
In the morning, above the pass out. Another wasted night wasted away.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
This is Chuck Smith, founder of Kern Electric. I want to thank you, Southeast Wisconsin, for making us number one electrical service company in our area. From residential and commercial to all things solar. Do you know the number one reason people call Kern Electric? It is trust. We answer the call. They trust our heroes in their home and businesses. With 8,500 five-star reviews and growing, I'm so very proud of our team of heroes. Go to callcurrent.com. That's callcurrent.com. Home of the superheroes.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. A three-judge federal panel.